Old news, right? So yesterday, you'd tell me, Nina, early access has been a powerful tool for developers and fans alike for years. You'd tell me that with your dumb little mouth, and I'd knuckle punch you right in your goddamn throat. Because ladies and gentlemen, we have something even better than that. We are calling it Devolver Digital Earliest Access. And we think it will be a revolutionary way to hastily rush unfinished game content out to consumers.
Works for me! I'm already in the alpha! Welcome to Cord Killers, our mission to report the intel from the front lines of the cord cutting revolution so you, my friends, have the information you need to be able to watch what you want, when you want, where you want, on whatever device you want. I'm Tom Merritt.
Hey, I'm Brian Brushwood. And that, most importantly, was the digital, keynote from Devolver Digital at E3, their E3 announcement thing. So this is the time of year that everybody jumps the gun for E3 stuff. And a lot of it is live events that are broadcast on the Twitch. And so what they did is they put together this, 15-minute package that just becomes an absurdist, postmodern, insane nightmare that's hilarious and strange and wonderful. She ends up covered in blood. A dude chops off his arm, and they just keep going forward. They end up satirizing so many things that drive people nuts about the video games industry, finally ending up with their latest invention that takes feedback from the customers in the forum and incorporates it live into correcting the game. The moment you think it should be, just complain about how it's too easy and it gets harder.
Comment creation.
Yeah, exactly. comment content creation. Yeah. It was a funny sketch.
You know, somebody who's been to a bunch of these sorts of things and probably gets a kick out of this just as much as us is our guest today, Ms. Nicole Lee from Engadget. Welcome back to the show.
Hello. Happy to be back.
Yeah. Thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah.
Are you happy you're not at E3?
So, no.
Yeah. Are you happy you're not at E3 or are you feel left out?
It's always a madhouse, I feel. So, happy that I'm not in the madhouse crowd, but also kind of sad not seeing all the cool things. So kind of both.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, hey, what are you doing a week from this Saturday at 8 a.m.?
Me?
I was either one of you guys. Yeah.
Well, I was thinking about going out to VidCon, but then I realized that I'm going to have to cancel so that I can be here to do a live stream viewing of the Scam School television show.
The what?
That's right. Yeah, we made a TV show out of Scam School, and it's premiering on the Science Channel this month. In as we're recording this, only 12 days. So here's the exciting thing, and it's gonna say most of this is gonna make sense. There's gonna be one part that really raises an eyebrow. Trust me, I think it's good for a million reasons. Nicole, we took a bunch of Scam School episodes and we recorded new segments and new connective tissues, and we created 2 30-minute episodes of Scam School covering 6 or 7 different tricks per episode. And so we have 2 pilots, and they premiere on Saturday, June 24th at 8 o'clock AM.
Eastern?
Eastern.
Eastern. 5 a.m.
Pacific.
Yeah. Also, there's only one feed, so it'll be 5 a.m. Pacific. Is you're gonna have to get up.
Can someone who is a cord cutter watch this?
Well, that's the exciting thing. First of all, even if you're not a cord cutter, DVR, set your DVR, because here's the thing. If it was 8 p.m., we'd be screwed. There's no way that us and our little internet community can move the needle on an 8 p.m. primetime release. But we can move the needle so hard on an 8 a.m. Eastern launch on this. If you guys, everybody DVRs it right now, and it's amazingly cord cutter friendly.
Yeah, you can get the Science Channel on Sling. You can log in and authenticate on the Science Go app.
It's on View.
Science Channel, I think it's on PlayStation View as well.
It is on PlayStation View.
And you can DVR it there as well. And what Brian's trying to say is when Nielsen goes through the numbers, and look, the only reason we're telling this is we want Brian to succeed. When Nielsen goes through the numbers and they see like sleep. Science Channel, asleep. Science Channel, asleep. That's what you want, right?
Exactly.
That big blip.
Yeah, no, and it really is. Basically, this is just a really clever. I got to admit, I'm really impressed that that Science Channel is doing this way, because this all came about because Scam School is a Discovery property, and so often there's this weird attitude where it's like, well, we don't want to promote from within and whatever. So we tried something nutty. By assembling it super, we did all the production on it. Bizarre Magic Inc., my company. We and when I say my company, I mean Bryce did all the work, and I recorded.
The show did that show. That's all we're saying.
But by doing it so cheap, I was astonished because we're just sending deliverables, and they're like, yeah, okay, it's going to happen in 2 weeks. And I was like, holy cow! And it's brilliant because essentially they're doing a very internet thinking thing, taking some dormant bandwidth and allowing us to do some A/B testing, and hopefully the whole world tunes in to check out this thing. And by the way, this means Scam School has now entered the pantheon of Saturday morning cartoons. So I'm gonna live stream myself and the whole family, all wearing pajamas, all eating cereal, watching Scam School kick off Saturday morning cartoons.
A week from this Saturday. Don't be confused. Don't turn on your TV this Saturday and expect
not
to see it.
Not this Saturday.
A week from this Saturday.
Well, and you'll see it on your DVR.
24th.
Yeah.
24th.
Yep.
June 24th.
Yep. All right. Let's get on to the primary target. Now, I didn't mean to sound condescending there, but one of the reasons that I made it very clear that it was the Science Channel on a week from this Saturday is that a bunch of studies have just come out. One from consulting firm Anatomy Media found that most viewers age 18 to 26 can't tell you where their TV shows come from, unless they're from Netflix. That's the only one. You ask them any ABC, NBC, Fox, CBS, Amazon? No, they have no idea. They're like, yeah, oh yeah, I love Mozart in the Jungle. I don't know where it comes from. But if it's a Netflix show, 65% of them are like, oh yeah, that's on Netflix.
I wonder what specific action Netflix did to. I mean, we know obviously that they have a vested interest in making a lot of noise about their originals, and it's an inherently interesting story. They're at the forefront of this revolution of how content is created. Do you think this is an artifact of just of the novelty of that vector, or is there something Netflix is doing to engender that kind of stickiness, Nicole?
That's a great question, because 31%, 18 to 26, could identify the broadcast networks. 20%, yeah. Worse than the broadcast networks, 20% could identify an Amazon show from where it came from. So it's streaming.
So just based on what I understand, I think the reason why Netflix, just my theory, the reason why I think Netflix has a little bit more stickiness is because they have all of that original content. Like they were the first out the gate to have like House of Cards, Orange is the New Black, all of that stuff. So, and I think they're just, Stranger Things, right? Like they have these like really hallmark flagship shows,
yeah.
That
and
have
I
like
could
Netflix
not find,
all over it.
I could not find numbers for HBO, Nicole, and I wonder if it's the same thing where I bet they could tell you an HBO show too, for that same reason, is like they were the first with the big quality cable shows, so that brand just sticks in your head.
Yeah. That's interesting. The idea that it's neither its firstness nor its marketing, but just straight up the quality of stuff that they're putting out that's resonating with people.
I think so. And also I think the problem I think with Amazon a little bit is because Amazon has like, they do other things. I mean, Amazon does other things. Like
sure.
It's not just video. They do other things, right? And they also show like other kinds of shows. They do like Rick and Morty, Doctor Who. You watch us on Amazon as well. They're more like an iTunes really than a streaming service. I mean, you can think of them as iTunes and a streaming service, and they're both. But I think some people sort of conflate the two, and they don't really think of Amazon as a original content provider as much as a Netflix or whatever.
Oh, sure. I mean, it's like, that's the weird thing about Amazon is on paper for like, they're breaking so many rules of marketing. Yeah. You can't be the everything store, because if you're the everything store, you're the nothing store. And yet somehow, somehow they're pulling it off.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're right. Like when they're watching Amazon shows, I'm sure this comes from some network, and whether it's Amazon or not, whereas in Netflix, even though they have shows from other places, it's sure. very clearly a Netflix show, and you hear about it talked in the press, and it was such a big deal when House of Cards came along and Stranger Things, and such a big deal about, oh, well, Netflix is challenging the predominant paradigm. And there's only room in most people's heads who don't obsess about this sort of stuff like we do to keep like, okay, what's the streaming only company? It's Netflix. I'm not going to worry about anybody else. Another study that we want to throw in here too, ComScore just came out with this afternoon. Of cord kitters.
Those are people who loudly announce that they're canceling cables. And then when it comes down to it, they're like, no, I couldn't.
JK. cord cutters generally are lower to middle income. That is what ComScore calls people who make $75,000 or less.
Oh, those
annually.
poor people.
Yeah. but it's definitely, you know, the people who make less than $100,000 are doing the cord cutting and watch less TV than the average viewer. So cord cutters watch an average of 79 hours a month, according to ComScore. A typical cable subscriber watches 225 hours a month. This is also based on behavioral data. This isn't asking people, what'd you watch? This is ComScore putting in a measurement device that actually catches how much they watch. And they did it in March 2017 in their general panel, which is a couple thousand viewers, 870 of which are cord cutting homes.
So, you know, it makes me wonder when they say they watch less TV, do they mean TV in the traditional sense, or do you mean just like straight up video viewing? Because I feel that even though I don't watch as much traditional TV, quote unquote, but I watch a lot of YouTube. I watch like a ton of just online video content, but they're not like TV.
Well,
you know, it makes me wonder.
Along those same lines, I'm curious how much of the quote unquote lower income aspect of it is just an artifact of millennials, you know, heavily populating that cord cutting or cord nevering space.
Well, I can answer Nicole's question. YouTube is counted in here.
Oh, well, there you go.
They've actually got that listed in the graph chart that they put out. As far as the millennials and the income, that would make perfect sense. And it makes perfect sense that the first group of people to cut the cord are the people who don't watch as much traditional television and don't have as much money. So they're going to look at it and go, why would I pay all that money for cable?
It's kind of a no-duh result,
yeah, but,
really.
But it does. Well, here's what's interesting about it to me is that it sort of reinforces a narrative that Tom and I have largely abandoned at this point during the show. Early on, we were talking about, wouldn't it be great if you weren't getting stuck to it by the man, you know, to the tune of $150 or $200 a month for cable and so on. So, you know, wouldn't it be great if it was a la carte or whatever? And we very quickly figured out that that's a fantasy and you just end up spending the same amount of money separately. So for us, the cord cutting revolution has been about an increase of choice and distribution platform and not so much about the monetary aspect of it, but that we're apparently out of step with the bulk of the people actually doing the movement, according to what we're seeing here, and that it appears to be at least somewhat influenced by the pricing side of things.
Well, and I think both of those are true. I think that if you try to replace cable, this is where the math breaks down. If you try to actually, like, I want to have access to every single thing I have on cable right now, you are not going to save that much money. You might save a little, you might not. If, however, you're one of these people in this ComScore study who's like, I don't even watch all of that. I don't care about replacing that. And the people who are cord cutters are like, all I care about is Hulu, Netflix, Amazon, and YouTube. It's all I care about. It's all I watch. Then you are definitely going to save money. It's when you try to make it apples and apples that you're like, well, maybe you can save money. And we've shifted to saying it's not necessarily about saving money over what you have now. It's about control. And these are the people saying, yeah, I was wasting money on cable because these are the only things I need to watch. I don't need to watch all that.
Yeah. There's been I don't want to call it a relaxing of quality standards or anything like that, because that implies that, you know, network television is somehow superior to any of the other services. But I think there's a good enoughness that comes along with it, where it's like, yeah, it won't be the same action shows that my parents watched or old, whatever other generation, but I'll get to watch action shows on this cord-cutting lifestyle. I'll get to watch comedy shows. I'll get to watch every type of shows. It's just the variety of I got to tell you, it's astonishing to me how much the ecosystem that I tie myself into really does establish what I get into.
And Nicole, going back to what you were saying about you find yourself watching a lot of YouTube. When I was a cord cutter in the 90s, before it was cool, it was because of money.
Because
I was
it's like, very cool right for now. Cable.
So I just did without, right? The thing was like, you know what? I'm not going to see that new TV show that's on the USA Network. I'm not going to see an HBO show. Sorry. I'm just going to miss out. I've got other things to do. And I would fill my entertainment time with other things, with video games and with reading the web, this new World Wide Web thing. And now you can fill it with video entertainment that is not necessary, that does not require cable. And a lot of that's on YouTube, a lot of it's on Twitch and elsewhere. So there's even more reason to get away without cable than there was back then. So it doesn't surprise me that more people will do it.
It's really interesting to me sort of comparing the different services, right? Hulu, Amazon, Netflix, and sort of putting that next to like a quote unquote cable replacement service, like a Sling TV or like a PS View or one of those services. And I actually have Hulu Live, which is kind of a similar thing right now. And, you know, it is cheaper, but not substantially so, I guess, like you mentioned earlier. So it is definitely like, you know, whether or not are you replacing cable or are you just learning to live with less?
Well, and that's where things get a little bit tricky too, because a lot of people think of like, well, I won't have cable. Instead, I'll watch Netflix and Amazon. But the fact is, those people were never giving up cable to get
to begin
those.
With.
They already had both, right? It's just eliminating you know, a big chunk of your diet.
One of the things we do on Cord Killers is test out these streaming services so that we can tell you how good they are. One of the streaming services we recently tested out was YouTube TV. And when I signed up for that, they sent me a Chromecast. Turns out, though, I don't need a Chromecast, so I'm giving it to you. Yes, you. Here's how you get it. The Patreon Chromecast giveaway. Submit an idea for the next show after Justified that we will watch on Spoiler in Time by the 24th. We will announce the winner on the show on the 26th. So all you have to do is send us an email with contest in the subject line to cordkillers@gmail.com. You can honestly leave it blank if you want, but we'd rather you suggest a show that we'll watch after we're done watching Justified on Spoiler in Time.
That's right. And in fact, maybe we can pick the one you want to. Oh, I guess we'll wait till the following Monday to announce it. But yes, the ending of the giveaway will be during the Scam School television show. Set your DVDs.
Yes. So send your, at the very last minute, send in your email with the subject line contest to cordkillers@gmail.com. Then immediately start watching Scam School on the Science Channel.
Okay. Works.
All right. Let's talk about how to watch. Or not. So at E3, Microsoft announced the Xbox One X. It's Microsoft's most powerful new console yet. It does 4K and HDR and premium Dolby Atmos and Blu-ray drive and has 12 gigabytes of RAM, and it's $499, and it's spec'd out, man. It's got all the specs with the specs are crazy for the playing of the games, if you want to play the games. But honestly, the reason I'm not getting into that is because if you're a cord cutter, there's not much for you here. This is entirely if you're a gamer who wants to play games at 60 frames per second in 4K. Otherwise, if you're an Xbox gamer who really is more on the video watching side, the Xbox One S would make a better choice at $299 because it also has 4K and can play ultra high def Blu-rays.
Yeah, man, I don't know. Boy, it was a weird thing. Was it 2 years ago that Microsoft leaned really heavily on the cord cutting aspects of the Xbox One? No, maybe three or four years ago.
3 years ago under Phil Spencer. Yeah.
Yeah. You can tell that they've very much gotten the message loud and clear that E3 is a place for games, and that's all we're going to talk about and focus on, which is really too bad because I thought there were some pretty cool aspects back in the day, but a lot of it is not what we see from the E3 stuff.
Yeah, Nicole, what did you think?
You know, it's to be expected, really. I mean, Xbox is a gaming console, and they're at E3, and E3 is a gaming event, and they're going up against the likes of the PlayStation, and now Nintendo Switch is like the surprise, you know, dark horse in this situation. Like they're really trying to cement their role as a gaming powerhouse. it doesn't surprise me at all. You know, they want to get into VR and stuff. I'm sure next year, I think there was some talk about that. And plus it's $500, and that's kind of a lot of money for just a entertainment device, right?
Well, so and I'm sure,
you know, I don't know.
I'm sure word's going to come out that there's going to be a bunch of titles where it's like, well, don't even pretend like you want to try experiencing this on anything less than the premier hardware out there. And the VR thing, I totally agree with, although it sounds like so far, and granted, we're not even really in E3 yet, there's been very little VR related buzz on anything, which I don't know if that's an indication that it's still just too niche or that it's better to, you know, maybe some, there are some titles that have dealt with over hypification basically, and I think there's a lot of really cool stuff in the works that they're just being very quiet about right now.
Yeah, I think VR is next year's E3, not this year's E3. And for those of you wanting to watch VR films and TV shows, I think that's 2020 maybe. Like we don't even have the games nailed down. I think Bethesda had a couple of VR titles that they highlighted so far, but It's going to be a row, and you're right. The Xbox One X is well positioned to do VR once it becomes something that a lot of different people want to do.
Yeah, well, and we're finally with Star Trek Bridge Crew, I believe, finally for seeing the first decent cross platform integration on all this stuff. Anything to keep us away from splintering before VR is fairly begun will make me very, very happy.
Yeah, that kind of cross-platform integration is rare on any new platform.
Absolutely.
Of any kind. That's pretty crazy. All right, so let's talk about what to watch on all of this stuff in Under Surveillance. Under Surveillance. Apple premiered its first original TV series, Planet of the Apps, last Wednesday. The 10-episode series will follow app developers pitching their ideas to a panel made up of Gary Vaynerchuk, Gwyneth Paltrow, Jessica Albo, and series creator Will.i.am. The first show is free for all on iTunes and Apple Music, while future episodes will require an Apple Music subscription. However, every time I launch Apple Music and try to watch it without a subscription, it tells me I need a subscription. And apparently, I just need to go to the website to watch it for free, so it's even hard to find out whether to watch it for free. And I don't know if either of you watched it. I didn't, but it has universally been panned so far.
Hoo boy.
I watched it. It's bad. It's pretty bad.
Well, you specifically, not just bad like thematically or narratively, but also like chronologically bad.
Very light spoiler. One of the very first apps is about a tech play with this app that has markerless AR technology. It can put furniture in a home. But Apple just announced AR Kit
the week before. It's already obsolete.
And so, yeah, it's totally obsolete. It's boy. I don't know. I might watch the second one because I think I still have Apple Music, but.
Wait, does it just feel like every cliche reality show, or
it feels like a clunky version of Shark Tank, and that companion show after the tank or whatever that follows the companies? It's kind of like that.
It's like Shark Tank, but then you realize it's just an algae sucker.
yeah. it's very pretty. It's a well made show. Also, Zane Lowe is the host. They're really getting their their money's worth out of Zane Lowe with Apple Music. So,
all right, on to the Black Panther trailer. Black Panther coming out February 16th, 2018. Seeing the high tech innards of Wakanda in this trailer. What did you guys think?
You hear the word teaser, you expect a little bit less than they deliver. That felt awfully, I mean, I guess it felt like as big as Thor Ragnarok.
So cool.
Yeah.
I have to say, like, I know like really nothing, like just nothing about the character. I have like no history, no tying. I know nothing about it. So when I watched it, I was like, what is happening? Why are there spaceships? What's going on? I was like, it blew my mind. It was amazing.
This is definitely one thing I think the Marvel Cinematic Universe has paid off so much bigger than the Star Wars acquisition, because in Marvel we've seen, you know, an increasing variety of some stories tied into this big mega narrative. Other stories, you know, we saw a heist movie. We've seen comedies and stuff, all these different genres, whereas – you know, the Star Wars is very much locked into this one. Let's keep worshiping the thing we remembered when we were kids. Just seeing more and more diversity, more and more different, insane stories in the MCU makes me very, very happy.
And I wonder if that's where they will or should go with Star Wars. Remember, everybody got angry when they made all of the expanded universe stuff non-canon, but nobody got mad when Marvel basically did the same thing, right? They said, look, the Marvel cinematic universe is different. And so the only things canon to that universe are the things that we create within that universe. And the difference was Marvel has rebooted itself a million times over the years. I wonder if maybe the strength of the Star Wars movies after we get done with 8 and 9 is to go and find those great legend storylines that people love, the Mara Jade type storylines, those things that were great in the comics and the books, and figure out how to give them that same treatment so that you can have a Black Panther like movie where people like Nicole don't even know that that was a thing before, but the people who do know it really like it, and everybody wins.
Right.
Do you think they should
agreed.
Do that?
I was going to say what you mentioned, the Star Wars Expanded Universe stuff. It reminds me a lot of some people of the video game side of things, because there are people that, you know, they want to play. They don't necessarily want to play as Luke or as Leia. They just want to play in the universe, right? They want to be on Tatooine, or they want to be on, you know, part of the universe. And it's their own little storyline within that universe. And I think it's a similar kind of feel, I think, you're going after.
And finally, all 10 episodes of Samurai Jack Season 5 are now up for free at AdultSwim.com.
Awesome. I hear amazing things about this 10-episode arc. You know, it takes place several years after the original series. I've not watched it, but now that I know that I can dive right in and watch all 10 episodes, I think it's yet another place where Adult Swim is just killing it. They really seem to get the point of reaching out to the millennial cord-cutting audience.
Let's move on to what we're watching, and we'll start with you, Nicole. What's been filling your eyeballs?
Filling my eyeballs? Let me just say that the last time I was here, I had signed on YouTube TV. I no longer have YouTube TV. I have Hulu Live now. And the reason is because Hulu Live offers just a little bit more content than YouTube TV does. It's not as good as YouTube TV. Like, it's kind of street. It's kind of, there are a lot of glitches and there are a lot of connection errors, and I get very frustrated with it. But I just watched the on-demand stuff, and I'm going to talk about some of that now. I watched. I'm still following American Gods on Stars, and which is really going in a direction that I had not expected at all. I don't know if you, not non-spoiler, but it's sort of, there are some parts that is definitely diverging away from the book a little bit. And it's really interesting to me on how they're diverging away from it. And another thing that I'm watching is the old Twin Peaks, not the new one, the old one. And the reason I'm watching the old one is to sort of catch my mind up, sort of refresh my memory as to the happenings of Twin Peaks, who killed Laura Palmer, before I dive in into the Showtime stuff.
So yeah. You intend to go get Showtime and watch The Return eventually?
Yeah. Yeah. My intent is like to watch the whole of, you know, Twin Peaks and then like dive into Showtime.
Yeah, that's exactly what Ron Richards and I did for the exact same reason. We just wanted to have all of that fresh in our heads. And trust me, it's gonna help. It's gonna make you appreciate The Return a little more.
Yeah, totally.
As far as American Gods, I didn't watch this week's episode, but it has been grindingly slow for me these last few episodes.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking, I'm wondering if it's slow because I know a lot happens. Like, I wonder if it's slow because I've read the book, and I'm like, like I've already read this stuff in like the first chapter. You know, like it's so like, you know, old. So it happens so fast in the book, whereas in the TV show, it's sort of dragged out. And I wonder if it's because I wonder if it's because of that, but I guess it's just slow in general.
We were talking about this. This is part of the reason that we were talking about the comparison between this and Westworld, where everybody who binged Westworld loved it. Everybody who watched week after week thought it was very slow and very plodding. So I actually, at the third episode of American Gods, I pressed pause just so I can experience watching them all in a row and see if that makes it feel like it's going faster for me.
I think that might help a lot, actually, just because they do all of these little side story bits, and there are a lot of tangents. You know, the past few episodes, there were one or two episodes that were just pure tangent, you know, pure side story, right? Not pure side plot, not main plot. And I think, you know, if you're kind of impatient and you want it to, like, come on, let's get to the main plot, you might be a little frustrated that it's like two whole episodes just on side plots, right? So I don't know.
Sure. Yeah. Brian, what have you been watching these days?
A whole lot of the Disney Channel, because we were at a family reunion with children and it rains, and then you watch the Disney Channel, and then you're watching Judy Moody's Not So Bummer Summer with Heather Graham, and they chase down a Sasquatch, and all those shows are the same. They're all about a dog who blogs about sisters who high five and travel through time with lots of soundtracks. Outside of that,
actually, that sounds pretty interesting the way you just put it.
That's just a mashup of all the Disney properties. But outside of that, I did make time to watch the latest Justified that we'll talk about in spoiler in time, and Better Call Saul. Everything else, I'm gonna have to play catch up this next week.
No problem. I have a couple of interesting things I want to talk about. First of all, I watched all of House of Cards. We had watched the first episode right after it was released, and we took a while to get back to it. But once we got into it, I feel like this may be the best House of Cards season for me in a while. Still not as good as it was when it first came out, but I really got into the whole electoral politics and the maneuvering and throwing the election into the Senate and voter suppression moves and all kinds of crazy stuff that you could expect would happen. And the election is done midway through, and I was still waiting to see what the next one would be. And there was crazier and crazier things happening. So I'd recommend season 5 of House of Cards. Definitely.
Dude. So is there anything about it? And obviously they've had enough time to massage any elements. Did you feel like there were any themes that were written with the expectation of a Clinton presidency that maybe got tweaked with the surprise of the Trump presidency?
It's surprisingly topical.
It feels like is that they accidentally wrote a series anticipating the current presidency.
Wow.
And I was trying to guess, what did they already have in here? What did they add at the last minute as they started to see what was happening? Because it's uncanny.
Wow.
Yeah, I heard that the principal shooting was like right around the election, right after the election. So, but there are still some things, administrative things, that are weird parallels.
This is really interesting because I know Veep, they had to rewrite like a lot of stuff because they were anticipating a Clinton presidency. So it's interesting that House of Cards managed to pivot the other way. That's cool.
Yeah. No, they did a great job. Also watched The Mummy in preview last week on Tuesday.
Can you say how you felt about it?
It was fine.
Fine?
Fine.
Put that on the poster. Fine.
I mean, I thought it was good. The first half of the way through, and then it just got really super predictable for the second half. The acting is actually really good. The effects are great. The little bits that they do to set up the rest of the Dark Universe are very promising. I'm more excited for future Dark Universe movies because Russell Crowe is setting up a character, and our main female character is going to be in all the movies. And I'm hopeful about that. But The Mummy plot line itself just didn't do a lot for me.
How do you feel about the Dark Universe stuff? I wanted to follow up with that question. Is it a good idea? Like, or do you think it's that they're just trying to cling on to Marvel's?
I don't know if it's going to end up being a good idea, but I'm more interested. I was more interested watching The Mummy in those movies that are going to come out than I was in the movie I was watching. If that answers your question.
Yes, it does.
I was like, oh, I can't wait to see the Dr. Jekyll. Oh, the Creature from the Black Lagoon. That'd be cool. Katy Perry did a 4-day live stream over the weekend to launch her new concert for her new album, which came out last week. My wife was watching it a lot. And while I'm not a huge Katy Perry fan, I just wanted to give a tip of the hat to what was a really transparent live stream. They showed her sleeping all night on this live stream.
What?
With a black and white camera, sort of with a see-through shade. She had dinner parties. She did Q&A. She did yoga. She just basically lived in a faux apartment that they built on a soundstage for 4 days and ate and slept in front of the world.
What? And so
was any of that performing music from this new album?
The or? Very end, the very, very last end. Day she did a concert.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
That, okay.
So, but yeah, I guess that's my question is like, to what benefit in terms of like, did it prime you in a certain way? Did it shape the experience of seeing?
I mean, not being a Katy Perry fan, I couldn't say. I assume if you're way into her, this was amazing because you got to look into her life and her personality that you would never have had access to before.
I think it sounds very like Truman Show, like, you know, Justin TV back in the day, kind of.
And
weird.
I think it feeds into themes that the album is supposed to touch on in terms of like social movements and fame elements. I think part of it plays into the idea of the album also.
I mean, they didn't show her go in the bathroom. They didn't show her change of clothes or anything prurient like that. But she would wake up in the morning. They'd come up with some sticky way to wake her up in the morning. Like Left Shark came in one day and woke her up. and then she would just like somebody would bring her coffee and she'd lay in bed and answer questions from the chat room.
Oh, you know? My gosh. Wow. No, I bet that. There's another word for people who do that.
It's called the people who host Cord Killers.
That's correct. That's correct. It's a very interesting move.
Narcoleptic? No. Anyway, so that I was just fascinated with that, even like kind of in an over the shoulder way, because I'm like, actually, they did a really good job of it. I was expecting it to be like really super fake and not and like, yeah, it's live and then fill it with a bunch of stuff. But that poor lady, they had her on all the time. Like, I couldn't believe they actually had a camera on her sleeping all night.
Well, that's
long.
Great. Well, and that's one thing, you know, Justin Robert Young points out all the time. He says the key to internet success is show effort, you know, and there's nobody that can deny, you know, just like, you know, whether or not you liked David Blaine's magic, you could certainly respect him for being a powerhouse, you know, to do these endurance stunts. This is a straight up endurance stunt, and it's one very in brand and one that's going to connect with their fan base very well, I assume.
Yeah, I would guess too. All right, let's see what Bryce has been on the lookout for.
Hey, first off, Orange is the New Black, new season came out over the weekend.
Yes.
Very good, kind of a weird experiment this season. The season's kind of a thing, so just buckle in. But I wanted to send along this letter that Mike sent along about a Starz show. He says, have any of you guys seen The Outlander from Starz? Season two, I am reading the book, which is based off of, which is entertaining. It is a romantic adventure story with a paranormal twist. An English combat nurse veteran is thrown from 1945 into 1742 through a Scottish version of the Stonehenge. He likes the book so far, and it's interesting how medieval and feudal Scotland was in 1743. It's not a good place for a modern woman, he writes. So thank you very much for sending that, Mike Keeper / Kepper. Two seasons of Outlander are streaming now on Starz. Season 3 is expected to air this September. Also, wanted to give a shout-out to Jesse, a hometown rival, who is putting together an archive of On the Lookout suggestions, like he does for DTNS. So he made a bit.ly link, bit.ly/CK, On the Lookout, all lowercase, all one word. And you can find the episodes that recommendations have come from and the Just Watch page for the US, so you can find out what service these different shows are on. Thank you so much, Jesse.
So good.
bit.ly/CK On the Lookout. Jesse's the best. Thank you so much. Hey, if you got something we should be on the lookout for, you're the best too. Email us, cordkillers@gmail.com. Now, Brian, tell me something that's happening a week from Saturday to film.
Man,
my morning,
this is normally a time when we talk about a new product release or a new video on the Mono Road. Forget all that, man. Watch my TV show. I'm the executive producer. We did credits. It says executive producer Brian Brushwood on this TV show. Set your channel. ScienceChannel.com has the schedule on there, but it's Saturday, June 24th at 8 a.m. Eastern. 8 a.m. Eastern. Set your DVRs. It matters. Get up and have a breakfast of scampions with the rest of us.
Okay, you've convinced me. Now I have to get up. It's time for the front lines.
Front lines.
Netflix responded to fans petitioning it to bring back Sense8. They said, "We can't. Maybe Netflix will bring it back. Oh, wait, that's us." No, actually what they said was, "The reason we've taken so long to get back to you is because we've thought long and hard here at Netflix to try to make it work. But unfortunately, we can't." Apparently, it just comes down to viewership. Separately, Reed Hastings told CNBC, "Our hit ratio is way too high right now, humble brag. So we've canceled very few shows. I'm always pushing the content team. We have to take more risk. You have to try more crazy things because we should have a higher cancel rate overall."
Yep. Nope. That's 100% true. And it's very counterintuitive for most people. But if you want to deliver the best value to your shareholders, that's exactly what you do, is you aim to experiment and get a few monsters in the mix.
They canceled the was it the Get Down?
Get Down too. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
TNT streamed the premiere episodes of Claws on Twitter immediately after it premiered on TNT. Claws is a drama comedy that follows several employees of a fictional Florida nail salon who enter the world of organized crime. Seeing a lot more of that these days, huh?
Yeah, more stuff going on Twitter, to the point where they were like, "It's the first time a cable drama has been streamed on Twitter." Like, the categories are getting narrower and narrower.
Yeah, sure.
Can I have a side thing on this? Speaking of Twitter streaming, when the UK elections happened, I think, was it last week? I think it was last week.
Yep.
I followed the entire UK election on Twitter. Like, because of that little live streaming video, and it was like, was it BBC, I think? Yeah. I followed the entire UK elections on Twitter video, and it kind of amazed me that I could do that. And that was kind of amazing. I thought it was pretty cool.
That's what they want. That's you're exactly what Twitter is trying to do right now, is get you to go, "Huh, I guess I don't have to go turn on the television. I could just use Twitter or use Twitter on the television." But yeah.
It was great.
It'll be interesting to see them roll out aspects of this, because right now that's just on the default Twitter client, right? Or on the webpage. Yeah. Whereas like, I live in TweetDeck, so I'm shielded from all of that. But, I would like to know when that kind of stuff is on.
TiVo won an International Trade Commission dispute with Comcast over patents relating to DVR recording and search. There were 6 total patents. TiVo didn't win all of them, but they won those 2. Comcast can't contest the ruling or pay licensing fees to TiVo.
How big of a win for TiVo is this? Is this just a Pyrrhic victory? Like, at least we got that.
I mean, I think it's what's the next step from Pyrrhic? I think it's probably like a little more substantial than that, because they could get some money out of it. But Comcast is also fighting them in court. So it's not like, "Oh, it's over. We won."
Can I tell you an authentic thought that I had? I want to say, it took me a million years to figure out when I had a TiVo Generation 1. I was like, "How does it get this programming guide?" Because there's like 15 minutes of video. It's like, that would take too long to download over dial-up. And I know it dials up in the middle of the night. And then eventually, like, I caught it at 4 in the morning, changing channels and just basically, you know, recording a 15-minute block of TiVo programming. And I was like, "Holy cow, it really doesn't matter what time slot you have now. You could, what if somebody had a show at an outrageous time slot, like 5 a.m.? On Saturday on the West Coast." So I realized I had this thought, and of course later that became supplanted by RSS feeds, but now 20 years after the fact I had that, I am now living that experiment.
You're living the dream, man.
Set your DVRs. DirecTV Now started giving users a message that it will no longer work on browsers other than Google Chrome after June.
To which Chrome users went, "It works on Chrome?"
is that all to keep up with copy protection crap?
It might have to do with that. Yeah, it might have to do with authentication. It certainly is going to be easier for developers to focus in and make it work better if they have one browser to deal with.
Yeah.
Which is weird, because Chrome doesn't have the DRM to do 1080p Netflix streaming, right?
Huh.
It doesn't.
I believe we had an article about it a while ago because Microsoft Edge does have the sort of DRM that you can watch 1080p Netflix.
I thought it was 4K. Maybe was it 4K?
Maybe that's 4K, but I feel like I still get 720 on Chrome. But
yeah, maybe you're right.
Yeah, it would be weird.
Yeah. It's not that it doesn't have the DRM. It's that DRM implementation works in different ways in different browsers. So Facebook's Android app now works on Android TV. When installed on an Android TV device, it'll show videos in several categories: suggested, live, games, your videos, pretty much the same categories as on the Apple TV version of Facebook. It doesn't show you your newsfeed. This is simply meant for you to watch Facebook video.
And finally, Open TV web series Brown Girls debuted on Elle in February, and HBO has picked it up. Brown Girls is centered on the friendship between Leila, Nabila Hussein, a queer Muslim woman, and Patricia, Sonia Dennis, a young black woman. It comes from screenwriter Fatima Asghar. You had to give this one to me. And director Samantha Bailey. that's a lot of words I mangled.
There's a lot
of
people with very cool names in the series Brown Girls that got picked up by HBO. And Issa Rae kind of blazed the trail here, where they're picking up these smaller web series and giving them the HBO platform.
Yeah. High maintenance too.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So there you go. Go watch Brown Girls. And that is a look at our front lines. Let's get to some dispatches from the front. Blair has a tip for you, Brian. On your iPhone, in the clock setting, where you are in the clock app, when you use the timer, you can click an option called When Timer Ends, scroll all the way to bottom, select Stop Playing, set your time, start the timer, then go start Netflix, and boom, Netflix will shut off when the timer is done.
This is brilliant and a huge, huge deal, because this was in relation to the fact that I said I love the alternate audio track where it explains what's happening on the screen so that I can, you know, try to fall asleep listening to it. And I lamented that it just goes on to play the entire movie. Now I have a solution. That's fantastic.
Thank you, Blair.
Meanwhile, Phil writes in, hey there, longtime off and on listeners all the way since the Twit days and current boss Patreon contributor for the last year. I'm currently in a fairly good deal with the Comcast for the next year and a half, and I'm not interested in completely cutting the cord yet, but I don't feel like paying monthly device fees for cable boxes throughout the house. I have several TVs in my house with an Amazon Fire Stick devices, and I would like to load as many apps with live TV and on-demand streaming content as possible. I'm currently using HBO Go, Disney Original, CBS, etc. But I'm curious if A, there's a central Xfinity app I can sign into and access all the TV channels I'm currently paying for, or B, a website listing all the streaming apps that an Xfinity login can be used for. Otherwise, keep doing what you're doing. Thank you very much, Phil. This is interesting because I think we're very close to you being able to, I don't know how much content you would no longer be able to access if you got rid of your cable boxes. Do you have a read on that, Tom?
Yeah. So if you have the X1 device in one room, you can now use Xfinity Stream on iOS devices, Android devices, and Amazon devices. I don't know if it works on Fire TV though, but it will work on Kindle Fires and the web. So there's definitely a possibility there, even if it's just Chromecasting or AirPlaying or mirroring through Chromecast. But Xfinity.com/apps has the info on Xfinity Stream and a few other Xfinity account apps and stuff like that. But again, you have to have one box. I could not find a decent listing because it's so complex that said these network apps allow you to authenticate from these cable providers. If anybody out there has a good one for Xfinity or multiple cable providers, send it to us at cordkillers@gmail.com. Otherwise, I would guess most of them work. You just have to try them, though.
Meanwhile, Belinda from Hackett, Arkansas writes in about the Tableau saying, hey guys, I bought the first Tableau. I use it with Roku 3. Tableau was very, very buggy at first, but now I love it. I used to have problems every time they would update, but now I believe they've gotten most of the kinks out. Yeah, it was kind of annoying about having to get a USB hard drive, but the nice thing about that is if one hard drive fails, it's easy to swap out another. I've done this recently, was able to get a 1 terabyte hard drive for around $50. I can also stream my Tableau away from home by streaming it over the internet using their mobile app or logging in with a web browser. It's gotten way better. I haven't checked out the new one yet, but I'm sure it's definitely worth a look. I'm very, very glad to hear that.
Yeah, thank you, Belinda, for writing in. Nicole, I'm curious. One of the reasons you might want to have an over-the-air DVR like Tableau is to get channels that aren't streaming or DVRable in your streaming services like YouTube TV or Hulu. For instance, the CW, KTLA here in LA, is not available on Hulu's live TV service. Have you run into anything like that that would make this compelling for you?
I don't know. Does it record stuff that, like, if a live show runs over, like, would it be able to catch that? That's
yeah, because it would work like a TiVo. So you could set it to like keep recording for an extra 15 minutes,
yeah,
or
honestly,
something.
Yeah, honestly, like that. I think that feature is really useful for me right now because
that's
I think
you're missing.
Yeah, honestly, like a lot of the live shows that I'm recording, mostly sports, of course. It's like if it's like a extra inning game, it drops out the extra innings. Yeah. If it's like a overtime game, it drops out the overtime, and I can't catch the most important part of the game, which is the last few minutes of it.
Yeah, yeah. So your hack, your workaround would be to have to remember to record whatever it is afterwards, yeah, and then you've got exactly it in two different files, right?
Yeah, I know. Annoying.
Yeah, that's weird. Thank you, Belinda. And Cliff wrote in and said, were you guys kidding about David Thewlis? Because he is Varga, Lupin, and Ajax from Wonder Woman. He was also great as a medieval priest in Kingdom of Heaven. Yes, that's what it was. I was totally kidding. Yeah, it was my joke, Brian.
It was an elaborate ruse where you were kidding me and I was pretending like right? I thought I had made a mistake and must have been wrong.
It was so funny. I'm glad Cliff got it. No, I was just absolutely wrong when I told Brian that David Thewlis was Lupin, not Varga. He's definitely both.
So. Well, and it's a testament to how good Varga is, you know, and
definitely,
and
yeah.
And how different from, you know, the mannerisms and, of course, the teeth and just the presence of him. He great actor, man. Made
a difference. Well done. And finally, Logan in Redmond, Washington said, a few weeks ago, I decided it was time to cut the cord. I disconnected my cable box, took it to my local Xfinity store. My thought was that if I did it in person and took my box with me, I'd avoid any retention attempts. Gentleman offered to knock some money off, but I explained it would need to be free for me to stay. I did still want internet, though, and to my surprise, he knocked $20 off my internet bill. A week later, I got a call from a retention agent, and she knocked another $20 off my internet bill. Now I have no cable, but Netflix and Amazon provide me with more than enough content, and I'm saving more than $100 a month. Thank you. I never would have done this without your show. If only there was a way to show my thank you other than an email. Oh, I know. I'll support you on Patreon. Well, that's lovely. Thank you, Logan. How cool is that? He took the chicken challenge and saved money on his internet.
Dude, I'm telling you, sometimes you're just made out of wind. Congratulations, Logan.
That's fantastic. And speaking of made out of wind, Nicole Lee, you are made out of wind. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I know we watch the show every week, so it's great to be on.
Awesome.
Excellent. And when you're on the show, then does your husband make you watch it again or?
No, but he watches. I mean, he watches it.
He watches it while you're on it. Got it.
Yeah. Both.
Well, we say hi to him too. And if people want to find more of what you're doing, where should they go?
Just follow my Twitter, twitter.com/Nicole.
There you go. Folks, our website is cordkillers.com. Our email address is cordkillers@gmail.com. We're live on diamondclub.tv Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. And don't forget Saturday at 5 a.m. Pacific, 8 a.m. Eastern, a week from this Saturday to watch Scam School on the Science Channel. We'll see you next time.
Set your DVRs. Hey, guys. Tom and Brian here. We just wanted to say thank you to all of our $5 patrons who keep us loud, live, and independent. You guys make Cord Killers the production that it is.
Your name appears in the video credits and appears in our hearts. And if you'd like to become one of them or see who they are, you can go to patreon.com/cordkillers.
You'll need to do more than just go there, though. You'll have to sign up and, you know, pledge an amount. But
unless you just want to see who they are.
Well, I mean, you can gawk. That's a little creepy, isn't it?
If you want to be a gawker,
let's go.
It's up to you.
Hi, Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.